We campaign to challenge social exclusion and work with blind and partially sighted people on daily challenges such as transport and street obstacles. Another area of social exclusion is in the UK workforce, where only 1 in 4 blind and partially sighted people of working age are in employment. The latest employment figures released in March this year show that in general, employment has risen, but the employment rate for blind and partially sighted people has declined from 1 in 3 people in 2005 to only 1 in 4 in 2015. This means that only a quarter of blind and partially sighted people of working age are in employment, in comparison to 3/4 of the UK population. Last month, we launched a programme as part of the Disability Confidence Scheme, where we made a wide range of resources available to employers. These resources focused on recruiting and retaining blind and partially sighted people in their organisation. David Clark, Director of Services at RNIB, hosted this event and reflected on the issues discussed.
Hi, my name is David Clark and I'm Director of Services at the RNIB.
And how do you think this Disability Confident event has gone? It certainly seemed to be well attended.
Yeah, the attendance today was absolutely terrific. The room was full and full of employers who were really looking to learn from the information we had available and from all the speakers. And we covered a vast range of subjects from employees currently working with various adjustments, right through to the wonderful Caroline Casey, who gave us a real insight into how she was thinking and encouraging CEOs globally to take disability seriously and inclusion seriously.
Yeah, it was a real call to arms, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic call to arms. You know, the idea that, you know, time is up on this. You know, blind and partially sighted people currently are massively underutilized in the employment market. And I truly believe that this has a terrific commercial value that's being untapped by employers. And Caroline really gave us some of the energy and the desire to go and get commitments on this stuff and make sure that that resource is completely tapped and that blind and partially sighted people get their opportunity to play a full role in employment. Yeah, and what we've got to do is change the perception of people. I mean, this is about social attitudes. This is about the fact that, you know, disabled people are someone else. It's another situation. It's a bit too complicated for me to understand. And that this is just people, you know. And one of the worst phone calls we can get through our advice line at RNIB is, I've been losing my sight for a while and I resigned yesterday. What do I do now? Yeah. It's a horrible call to get, because had it come a day earlier, there's something we absolutely could do. And, you know, I think that the incredible thing about the 83% figure is that this is in work. This is when people are in work, and we can make the appropriate adaptations to enable them to continue to do their job.
Yeah, and it's not just about employers being confident with disability. It's actually about us as disabled people feeling confident in our employers and taking the shame, I think, out of disability.
I think you're right. I think employees definitely have a role to play in how they front up to employers. You know, employers almost always want to have a person with the right skills and capabilities to make their business better. And I think, you know, there's certainly a role to be played by employees in presenting themselves in a way that makes their skills and capabilities very, very clear. But when you look at the stats of 1 in 4 blind and partially sighted people of working age in employment, it's clear that the issue is much, much bigger than that. And I think the information and the guidance and all the blogs and the case studies and the videos that we've put in place as part of this thematic approach to blind and partially sighted people in the workplace demonstrate very, very clearly that when employees and employers meet on a level playing field and in a space where they can talk openly about what each other needs, we get massive success and that figure will start to go up. But we're all going to have to work really, really hard. So great messages in the room today, great information, but it's about what happens out there and the employers we get to come on board and think very, very differently about the employment of blind and partially sighted people.
Absolutely. And I think the thematic case studies that you are presenting clearly actually present us as blind and disabled people as not a problem, but a potential asset. We are, after all, natural problem solvers.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I spoke today about the commercial value of blind and partially sighted people, and some people feel a bit awkward about that. But, you know, I am a recruiting manager. I've employed people for the last 26 years. And what I'm looking for there is people who are adaptable, people who can deal with change, people who can embrace new ways of working, new technology, solve problems, come up with solutions, analyze information. Now, I know just getting here today, I've gone through a whole host of those processes. I do it every day in my life. And we have to, because of the way society is set up, the way transport systems work, and the way we access information. So for me, it's really, really clear that there are some natural skills which you have if you're living with a disability. And we need to be much bolder about expressing what those skills are and making that commercial value something tangible and realistic that employers can feel, touch and experience and understand, so that it's built in. So when they're looking for those skills and capabilities, they can say, yeah, I can see it.
Amen to that. And let's hope that 2019 is the year where accessibility is seen to start becoming the default option.
Agreed.
Dave Clark, thank you very much for your time on RNIB Connect Radio.
We also heard from Richard Peden from Zurich Insurance, who is their UK Chief Compliance Officer and their Disability Inclusion Group Champion. He told us about the approach Zurich take to increasing their percentage of staff with disabilities.
So we've just seen the morning of the Disability Confident thematic programme on visual impairment. It's the launch event here at the Zurich building in East London. How have you felt it's gone today? We've heard from quite a few speakers visually impaired. I'm not. How do you feel it has gone?
I think it's been a great, absolutely great morning. I think it's fantastic both to get as with employers together for me, but then also obviously having the RNIB leading the event is fantastic. I mean, I think for me, we have, and we talk about a lot in the workplace, about creating an inclusive environment, and getting the input from the RNIB's expertise on that point is critical to us. So it's been a really useful morning.
Why is it, Zurich, as a company of your magnitude, that you are so determined to get inclusion done properly?
I think we recognise, I mean, first and foremost, Zurich, we have a very strong social purpose at the heart of the organisation. And for us, that means that we want to genuinely create an inclusive work environment, because we think that's both great for employees working for Zurich, but also it's good for our customers. So we want to ensure that we have a workplace where we can genuinely attract and retain people who have a range of, whether it be disabilities or different backgrounds, on the one hand. And on the other hand, we want to make sure that we enable those people then to support the design and delivery of our propositions and services to over 4 million of our customers who are all and who have, you know, are all unique and all have different, some of those individuals will be experiencing disabilities. We want to make sure our employees understand and appreciate what the challenges that poses.
And have you seen in the, say, last 10 years, a big change in the way that employers are looking at hiring people with disabilities?
I have seen a change, but I think I'd like to see even more of a change. So I think, you know, if I take Zurich as an example, you know, we have been on a journey and remain on a journey to improve the accessibility of our workplace, whether that be through our recruitment processes, whether that be through our buildings access, through a whole range of things. And I think, like many organisations, you know, we aspire to be truly inclusive, but we're learning all the time, and we want to continue to improve our accessibility. I think other employers are clearly on the same journey, but I think it's for all employers to both get on that journey, one, and then two, learn from each other so that we continue to evolve our workplaces so that they are genuinely inclusive.
And as one of the companies, I would say, at the forefront of doing this, would you, as a company, be happy to help other companies who are looking at you say, right, those guys are doing it properly, how can we do the same thing?
Yeah, I'd be very happy to share the work we're doing. I mean, I think the work that one does on this topic is it's often situation specific. So every company is in a slightly different context and has a different, we have to put in place different mechanisms. But I'd be very happy for Zurich and any of our team to support others, both to learn from us, but also we're keen to learn from others. So I think that would be very much a two-way dialogue.
Do you have, say, a percentage of people you'd like to have employed with disabilities within, say, the next 10 years?
So we set diversity and inclusion targets internally. I mean, the target I use internally within the disability inclusion group that I chair is we look at the declared disability rates in the workforce. And at Zurich, we currently have around about 9% of our employees who are confidentially, through the declaration process, declaring some form of disability. I think if I look at the national averages, the best practice would indicate 12% would be a good level. I mean, I believe that it would be, we're at a probably even higher level than that. So I'd like everybody to feel that they'd be willing to declare. We haven't gone as far as setting a specific target, but what I do challenge the team and both within the disability inclusion group, but also within the business, is to continue to move that number forward. And we have been, and we'll launch another campaign this year to encourage people again to disclose where they have a disability so that we can react and respond to that as an employer.
While when employing, say, visually impaired people or some people with other disabilities, how have you as a company faced the challenges and overcome them? So when it comes to technology and things to make the workplace more inclusive, what have you done as a company here?
So I think, first and foremost, it's about setting the tone from the top that we are an inclusive employer, because I think internal processes can get in the way all of the time. But actually, if people realise that there's an objective to be inclusive, then it's amazing how much individuals can overcome any process that exists. So first of all, I think is setting the tone at the top. But then secondly, it's making sure that our processes and the way we do things in the business, whether that be recruitment or for workplace adjustments, the processes within those teams are genuinely supportive of improving diversity and inclusion. And the practical process level needs to happen in the context of an overall direction from the leadership team of the business. And it's been both of those that we've been focused on.
Thank you very much for speaking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
The Disability Confident event that David and Richard talked about is the first step in our work to reach employers with our resources and help to make the workforce inclusive. We also have a workplace accessibility health check that we are encouraging employers to take. This rates their level of accessibility and gives information on how to improve it if necessary. You can help by sharing the health check and ask employers to take it by visiting our website. As you know, campaigning for change can take time, but the result can be long-lasting. We can't do it without blind and partially sighted people getting involved and making change happen. If you'd like to get involved with campaigning to make your local area more accessible, we have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns, call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123, or email campaigns@rnib.org.uk.